the United States versus Oziel Trujillo.
Good morning. My name is Pablo DiCastro. I'm here for Oziel Trujillo, the defendant appellant in this matter. The only issue on appeal in this case involves Sentencing Guideline 5C1.2, the so-called safety valve provision. The issue is that the government believes that Mr. Trujillo withheld certain information when he made his proffer to them. They believe specifically that he withheld information that would allow them to identify and to pursue the source of the cocaine in this matter, whom Mr. Trujillo identified only as Luis. Now the fact is that Mr. Trujillo was a minor participant in this transaction. He was very forthcoming with the government. He made it known his intention to give a proffer at the earliest possible time. It was delayed for logistical reasons, not because of any hesitation on his part. When he sat down with the government, he answered their questions. He was very forthcoming in every way. He told them he did not know the last name of this person, Luis, or his address, or anything else. Now, I understand why the government would like this information, obviously. I understand why the government is frustrated that this information was not given, but the cases previously in the Seventh Circuit need to be distinguished here. The cases previously brought before this court involve specific pieces of evidence, specific testimony of other witnesses, or specific contradictions within the testimony or proffer of the defendant to indicate that he was either untruthful or that his statement was incomplete in some way. In the case of Mr. Trujillo, there is no specific point of evidence given to contradict his statement or to call into question its completeness. Without going through all of the cases that have been cited in the briefs, we just say that they all involve some evidence. Mr. Trujillo's case does not. The government was not able to point to any specific witness who contradicted him or any specific piece of evidence that contradicted him. Now, this should not be misunderstood as a request on our part to create a burden on the government to come forward with evidence. That is not our intention. We did cite a case from the Ninth Circuit, Tressa, where that is suggested. I understand that the Seventh Circuit has refused to go that way. However, they're still required to point to some evidence in the record. I cited the case of Miranda Santiago from the First Circuit for the proposition that there should be some evidence that the government can point to, that the district court can rely on in finding that the defendant's proffer was somehow incomplete or untruthful. The reason I went to the First Circuit is because this issue has never been brought before the Seventh Circuit. In every case that I found in the Seventh Circuit, there was some reason in the record. In Mr. Trujillo's case, there is not. The only case I could find that addressed such a paucity of a basis for such a finding was in Miranda Santiago. Now, the government also adds an additional authority notice that I received yesterday, the case, the First Circuit case of Marquez. Marquez, however, supports our position in that it reiterates the finding of Miranda Santiago that there needs to be some evidence in the record. In Marquez, the First Circuit distinguished Marquez's case from Miranda Santiago because there were specific reasons in Marquez to believe that he had been that he had contradicted himself several times, that he had denied acting as a lookout, which was contradicted by the testimony given live of an agent at the sentencing hearing. There were specific reasons to believe that Mr. Marquez had not been fully forthcoming with the government, and there was not such a case in Miranda Santiago. The First Circuit upheld Miranda Santiago and Marquez. The First Circuit specifically said that the dissatisfaction of the government should not suffice. The fact that they are not happy with the information they received does not suffice, because if they were happy with it, if it was helpful to them, they could give Mr. Trujillo a downward departure based on 5K1.1. 5C1.2 does not require that the information be helpful. It does not require that the government be satisfied. It only requires that the defendant give all the information that he has. And Mr. Trujillo did that. He was forthcoming, he acted in good faith, and he gave all of the information in his
possession. What do we make of the district judge's skepticism of what he said?
The district court indicated some skepticism that Luis should have known Mr. Trujillo, that Luis would not put this amount of cocaine, 3 kilograms of cocaine, in the possession of somebody that he did not know and trust.
And that amount of it, that value.
It is, yes. And it's 3 kilograms of cocaine. I believe the value was given at upwards of $45,000.
Right.
But to say that Luis needed to have some faith in Mr. Trujillo does not follow that Luis would have to give Mr. Trujillo his last name, his address, his fingerprints. He does not have to give information.
The fingerprints aren't involved. You're sort of adding that.
I understand, Your Honor. But the source here, this Luis character, does not need to give information about himself in order to receive sufficient confidence in his messenger. He could, as was indicated in the sentencing hearing, he could follow Mr. Trujillo during the transaction. He did, in fact, supply the car that Mr. Trujillo used and gave all the information. Mr. Trujillo was under the impression that he was being followed. Certain safeguards were in place. The district court, I don't believe,
should have
the discretion to simply ignore the testimony or the proffer of Mr. Trujillo without pointing to some basis, either in the record or in his own experience.
He did point it out.
And the experience to which he pointed out was that he believed there should be some safeguards. Mr. Trujillo responded to that, and it is that testimony, I believe, that was ignored without any basis. With that, Your Honor, I believe I will reserve my time.
Thank you, Counsel.
May it please the Court, my name is Diane MacArthur and I represent the United States. I need to shift the spotlight to the other side of the adversarial line. It is the defendant who bears the burden in a safety valve context to provide truthful and complete information in order to qualify for that particular reduction. In this case, the district court specifically found that the defendant had not met that burden, and in doing so, the court assessed the credibility of the defendant through the information presented by the defendant himself, as well as the written submission of counsel. The district court highlighted 4 factors from the record before him to indicate that the burden had not been satisfied. First, that this was a first-time transaction, according to the defendant. Second, that the defendant was entrusted with the cocaine at issue. Third, that the quantity of cocaine here was 3 kilograms. And fourth, that the wholesale value of that cocaine was upwards of $60,000. The court then, as an overlay, placed his own experience, as he properly could, in his assessment of that information and found that the defendant, based on the record, on the defendant's own words, and on his experience, had not satisfied the burden in this case. The government had no burden to come forth with information about information the defendant may have withheld. The government had no burden to try to rebut the information presented. It was the defendant's proffer to the court which was assessed and which was the basis of the court's finding. For those reasons, the district court in this case did not commit clear error and properly assessed the credibility of the defendant before him. And for those reasons, the government requests that the findings of the district court, those credibility determinations based on the record before him, be affirmed. And if there are no further questions from Your Honor, I will sit down and pause now.
Thank you, Counsel.
Thank you.
Your Honor, I first of all would like to reiterate I agree that the government has no burden to come forward with its own evidence. They may, if they choose, come forward with evidence that contradicts the defendant, or they can simply point out, as was done in so many of these other cases prior, that the defendant's own information is self-contradictory or contradictory to other evidence already established in the record. What they cannot do is simply say, we don't believe him, without any reason. We just don't believe him. And the district court, in agreeing with that position and in maintaining that position, without explaining on what it was based, Your Honor, I believe it was error.
Did you ask him to explain it any further?
I believe at the sentencing hearing, the court indicated that he's been as clear as he was going to be. He expounded on it, I believe, as much as anybody could have expected him to at the time. In review of the record, it's not clear to me. I was not there at the sentencing hearing, but in reviewing the record, it's not clear to me on what he based it. The only thing that I could glean from the record was that he believed that Luis must have trusted Mr. Trujillo for some reason. And I don't believe that it logically follows from that Trujillo has to know Luis's last name. The problem that I have with the government's position and with the district court's finding here is that it does not allow for the possibility that Mr. Trujillo simply didn't know. If Mr. Trujillo can be denied relief under the safety valve, what happens to the theoretical defendant who honestly does not know? Is it really impossible that somebody might not know this? Are we saying that it is never the case? That nobody could ever come forward and say, I don't know? That he had worked for this gentleman before in different contexts. That he had done construction work for him, perhaps proven himself.
Drug carrying.
But it never...
First time.
Yes, that was his statement.
In excess of $45,000 in value.
That was the situation. That he had never been asked to perform this type of duty before. He was given 3 kilograms of cocaine, asked to go a short distance to a specific location in a car that was provided, and given the impression that he
had worked for him for how long in construction?
Sorry?
He had worked for him for how long in construction?
I think what he said was for a year or so, several different jobs.
He signed his checks.
There were odd jobs. You know, he did not work for him as an employee. Mm-hmm. He was...
And he didn't know who he was working for or anything?
He knew this gentleman's name. He knew that he provided work.
Okay. Thank you, counsel. We will take the case under advisement, and court is adjourned until tomorrow, 9:30 a.m. Patrick. Thank you all.
Yeah, no.